views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
Welcome
to another great, exciting, fantastic, super fantastic, fabulistic
episode of
Talking Nude, where we talk uncut, uncensored, unfiltered about whatever the fuck we want to talk about. I am one of your hosts, Jason.
And I am your other host, Miss Kathy A.
Mrs. Kathy A. She always says Miss Kathy A. It's
Mrs. I always forget to say Mrs.
Yeah, Mrs. because you're married.
I think it's because of all my clients, like all my kids always call me Miss Kathy. And that's what the parents always tell their kids to call me. They're like, Miss Kathy, don't forget to say thank you to Miss Kathy.
Yeah, but Miss Kathy would singleize that you are single. You are not single.
I don't think of it that way. I think of it as
you are quite ball and chain.
Proper. Oh, I know I'm ball and chain. I know that I'm married.
So, Miss Kathy, how was your weekend?
You know what? My weekend was excellent. You took me out on the best date night ever.
Oh, we did.
We went to...
Yeah, we did. Where did we go?
Out to eat, and we went to go see The Little Mermaid, and it was everything. I absolutely loved it. It was such a great time.
You know, I totally agree, and I did not want to talk about it until the podcast because I didn't want to share my views yet. Because you know me, I was kind of like me being a movie buff. I didn't want to just like watch it, and everyone's all like, oh, is this a bad movie and blah, blah, blah. But for me, it was like I didn't like the fact they want to reboot everything because sometimes it's hit or miss. But I got to say, this movie was really good.
Oh, my God, this movie was excellent. I absolutely loved it. To me, I thought it was so well written. I liked the music. I liked the story. And it was so, for me, as a woman of color, so relatable. And I just loved it. I just absolutely loved it. It was great.
And it was actually,
A++.
Honestly, with the Beauty and the Beast reboot that we saw, I honestly have to say that it was good, but it was better. Dare I say better than Beauty and the Beast? Like, it was better. I really enjoyed it.
You know what? Do I think it's better than the Beauty of the Beast?
Beauty of the Beast?
I know, right? Beauty and the Beast.
Miss Kathy and Beauty of the Beast.
I know,
like,
right?
You're just on a roll tonight.
I know, like, my grammar really... is just not hitting it tonight. I'm telling you. Maybe because I'm a little bit tired, y'all. This full moon got me just knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, she was knocked the fuck out.
Like, I took another nap today. Like, this is crazy, all the sleep I've been getting. But anyways, back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
The Beauty and the Beast remake was an A++ too, but I think The Little Mermaid is like a quadruple plus to me, A+.
Well,
it was
like,
well written. I thought the screenplay was done very nicely, and I liked that the whole message of the movie, it was just so great that, you know, we are all one and that worlds can collide and worlds can join and unite and be one, and it was so good. I even believe, like, the characters, Ariel and Eric, I loved it. He was cute, too. I absolutely loved the movie.
Know.
It was great.
I would say she was very pretty sexy for
mermaid.
Ariel. Yeah, she was a sexy mermaid. Like, I would have jumped in the water with her.
I loved when she sung, like, part of that world. That was so great. I saw it when it was on... her singing that in the Disney, I think it was a Disney special.
Was it on Disney Plus?
No, it was, I guess it was on regular TV, and somebody posted the clip on TikTok, and I just was like, I was wanting to cry then. Like, she came to give. Like, she came Halle Bailey. I hope I got her name right.
Is it Halle Berry?
I think not Halle Berry. No, Haley Bailey.
Haley Berry.
And I think that, or Bailey, one of the two, but she came to like shut all the naysayers up. You know, there was so much friction around her playing the Little Mermaid because she is black. And people were saying in the public eye and saying that they're not going to take their children to go see it because it should remain just white like it is and all that crap. And to me, I felt like, you know what? It's for kids. And most of the time, kids do not see color until they're taught to see color. And it's about the movie. It's about the writing. It's about the animation, the music. It's not about whether it's a black or white thing. Who cares? And also, we live in a day and age of 2023 and everybody is like mixed and mingled with something.
Yeah.
We are like living the colors of the rainbow. So our children now are going to, they grow up in a totally different world now. Like in their classrooms from kindergarten, preschool, have different colored children. So at the end of the day, they're not going to think anything of it.
And that's true. And really, honestly, the message of the movie Little Mermaid was really about inclusion. It was about inclusion in the sense that we can all live on this world and cohabitat and coexist together. We don't have to like shoot and kill one another. We can actually live in this, under the sea and
above
and
the sea too. Because she wanted to live on land. She wanted to be human. And just because you're born as something doesn't mean that you'll end up that in the end, because she was born a mermaid and always had an infatuation with humankind and wanted to be human.
And who wouldn't want to have a pet friend as Scuttlebutt?
That was so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was Scuttlebutt, Sebastian. I think our guest is in here. Hold on a second. Make sure we can hear him. Feel free to chime in. We're talking about The Little Mermaid and how the movie, you know, it's talking about coexisting and everyone can just live together under the sea and be one. That's really what it's about. It wasn't about like, you know, what color somebody was or what gender they were. It was really just about
written story.
Yeah, about everyone being one and working together.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We can't forget about Ursula, who was played by Melissa McCarthy.
Dude, Melissa McCarthy, that was the role she was meant to play.
Yes.
She did great. I didn't even know she could sing. I guess I should assume that all of, you know,
actors,
improvisers. And, a lot of actors and improvisers have other talents where they can sing really well. And I shouldn't have been so surprised, but I just never heard her sing. I never heard her sing before. So I thought they were going to have to, you know, do some editing on their end to make it make sense. But
you know, or maybe have someone like lip sync. She could have been lip syncing someone else singing like Minnie Vanelli or something.
Yeah. You know, with Lion King, have somebody do the singing, somebody else do the voice.
It's
animated, but you can't really do that as well with.
That's true. That's very true. And now with The Lion King, what was different about The Lion King?
We
saw that. I did not like The Lion King. What did you think?
Oh, man. I loved it. So far, I've loved all of the remake versions of the Disney. But, I mean, when I say all, I've only seen, I mean, I don't know what exists besides Aladdin.
Okay.
I thought that was fine.
What about Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, you know what? I haven't saw that.
I didn't see
Beauty and the Beast. What I liked about Little Mermaid was that I just saw the first one, Disney's first one, like a week prior to when I saw the new one.
Okay.
For the first time, I never watched it as a kid. I just liked Lion King and Aladdin. That stuck to my stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so many plot holes in the original one.
Definitely.
If you don't watch if you don't have nostalgia on your side to enjoy the original one, and you see it for the first time as an adult, then it's like the new one fixed so many holes that the original one had, where it just didn't make sense. Where, why does she care? And the first one, she just cares about Eric because he's hot.
Yeah.
There's no real connection. He doesn't have a song. He doesn't have a voice. You don't hear his side of the story of his connection in the world. She's willing to give up everything for this dude that she barely has any idea. She even says, "I love him," to the dad. And the first one, I side with the dad. The entire time, I'm rooting for the dad to destroy her stuff. She's a spoiled brat. You're only 16 years old, and you want the ocean's big. You want to just go the whole ocean wherever you want to go. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's bad parenting to be like, "No, I need to know where you're at, because I'm your dad, and we are," you know, it's insane.
You're going to make me have to go back and watch the VHS of it
now. You have to watch the original one. It's
insane. Oh, my God. How did you not watch the original one?
I did watch the original, but I'm going to have to go back and watch it again.
You have to rewatch it because there's so many differences that they added. In the new one, they make her steer the boat.
This is
that
true.
That drives into Ursula at the end.
That's true.
In the original one, he did that. So then she contributed nothing to fix the problem in the original one. The bird realized that that Ursula was even doing some stuff to begin with. And the guy steers the boat and fixes the problem at the end. This is her problem and she contributes nothing to fix it in the original one.
And
the original one, they say that that Sebastian is a he says he's a crab.
Yeah.
He is a lobster. He's not a crab. Google what a lobster looks like. He's a lobster. He has no idea who he is. So people didn't like that they changed him to look different. Well, no, the new one, they made it make sense. That's not what a crab looks like. She made him look like a crab did.
And who thought that Scuttlebutt was a rapper? I never knew that Scuttlebutt was Nicki Minaj. I didn't, dude, that was just her and Sebastian going back and forth rapping on the bed. I'm just like, where did this come from? I was totally.
It was the Lynn, I can't remember his name. What's the Hamlet dude?
Lin-Manuel Miranda, I believe it is, right? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, that sounds, I know if you say all of that, somebody knows who you're saying. But I can't tell you if you got it incorrect, but that guy. It's like he's put his rap in. If I had to pick one thing about the movie that I liked the least, I would say that it was Awkwafina rapping. It felt like she can't sing, so let's make her rap. It felt like we already picked her, and then we wanted to make her do a song. And so then we just asked Lin-Manuel, Mr. Lin. We asked Lin to help us out.
You know what's really funny?
Like, I can make anybody have it, but it's that rhythm. He's got one style of rap in everything that he does.
What was funny is Scuttlebutt reminded me of Finding Dory. Reminded me of Dory because she had that like forgetful nature, like Ellen's character did. Like that was How is that out there? You're on the West Coast now, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it out there? How's it been since you got out there?
It's good. I got here in 2019, so there was. I feel like I'm even though I feel like I'm. What is that? The beginning of like my fifth year. You know, so I've been out here for 4 years, but I really doesn't feel like that long because. But I just started to kind of meet people and know what was what when COVID hit.
Okay.
And then so then we were just inside for a couple of years. So I feel like it's taken me 4 years to kind of, you know. There's worse COVID stories for sure, but I feel like I'm just now starting to kind of get around and know what's going on. There's just so much. There's so many options of what to do that it's easy to get distracted.
So take us back to a young Jeff Horst. You grew up in Detroit, correct? Detroit, right?
Yes.
So tell me, how did the whole comedy and everything that you're doing, how did that come about? Like, when did you, like, walk us through Jeff Horst in Detroit growing up?
I went, first I started, the first place I did comedy was in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
I went to college. For like a year and a half, I went to college at Eastern Michigan
in
Salina. And there was a friend of mine who worked at a place called Big Ten Burrito. And they had like an upstairs area that was like a bar or restaurant. And everybody that was running that mic was new. So that was also really convenient for me because the first mic that I did was ran by people that they didn't really know what they were doing either. So there was no way for me to feel intimidated by the first mic because I saw that it seemed like nobody knew what they were doing. not just me. They didn't even tell me how much time I was supposed to do or like, we're going to give you a light at X amount of minutes. That means wrap it up. Like the basic things that you should explain at an open mic. They didn't tell me any of that.
Wow.
So I think I did like 25, 30 minutes. I was just like, wow. They're going to tell me, they're going to tell me when I'm done, right? So I just kept on going through more notes of things that might have been a joke that none of it really was, but I didn't know that at the time.
You know what? I always wanted to ask you, because I follow you on TikTok, and I'd be laughing my ass off at your videos. What made you want to get into comedy?
Well, it was when my friend, she was a waiter there. She was waiting tables there. So she said, "This is awful. If you're just as bad as them, at least I'd have more fun because I'd have a friend there." Versus, so she was like, "Just give it a shot. I've always thought you were funny." And I feel like people have told me that in the past. I think it was a lot of things came together at once. I spent a lot of time in college realizing that there was not a specific thing that I ever wanted to do. And I was just picking. I've even went further into realizing that I think that it can be detrimental, I think, to children to constantly ask them, "What are you going to be when you grow up?"
You know what? Like, that is so true.
There's adults that are changing their profession in their 40s, and you're asking a 9-year-old to make a final decision. And then it's like, I don't even know what the options are. I've only seen truck driver, UPS man, doctor, lawyer. I don't know what the options are. So I felt like I never could figure. I felt like I always felt bad about myself for not having it figured out. And the older I got, the more self-conscious that I got about it. And then at some point, during me trying to figure all that out still, I had somebody who was like, "Hey, why don't you give that a shot?" And at first it just started as a hobby, but then as I did it for even just a few years, I started to meet people that were not even close to being famous that could make a living. And then it changed things for me, because I think so many people just think that if you're not a household name in comedy that you can't financially support yourself, and that's not true at all. It's just
like any other job,
there's more options. The more that you learn, the more that you do it, the more connections you have, the more, you know, the more that you find other ways to get creative to make money.
You know, and that's so educational that you just said that, because I wouldn't have known, honestly, until you literally just said that. Sure. I wouldn't have known that.
Mm-hmm. Now, who are some of the comedians that influenced you coming up? Because I know, you know, you probably grew up when there was a lot of still really funny comedians out there back in the day, like Saturday Night Live, you know, like who were some of the standouts that really you just knew? You're like, I fucking love that.
For me, it was kind of all over the place, because I never thought that I would do stand-up comedy. Okay. So a lot of people, when they were young, they vision themselves being a comedian, and I didn't have that. So for me, it was more like it snuck up on me. Exactly. There was people that I appreciated. Like, I always thought Dave Chappelle was the greatest. Like, when I was younger,
nice.
His, you know, Killing Them Softly, his take on race and doing it in a way that was interesting and funny, was always something that I appreciated. And, I feel like when I started was the Comedy Central era, where there was like 4 stand-up comedy specials.
You know
specials
what?
That they
I remember
just played
that.
On repeat.
Yeah, that's true.
I almost don't even want to tell people who my influences are, because they'll think that that's who I had a. I didn't. It's like the first special I saw where I appreciated a lot of the jokes around the time that I started comedy and thought that I could do it was like Daniel Tosh.
Okay.
But it's like, I didn't have a Daniel Tosh poster on my wall. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't want to tell people that I'm like some.
You're like obsessed with Daniel Tosh.
Yeah, like, yeah. I never felt like there was a specific comedian that I wanted to be, or that heavily influenced me more than just, I always liked comedy. I always liked, you know, I had a whole bunch of different favorite stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
That I'm sure can influence me in different ways, but I never thought that it was like a real thing until early in college type of time period for my life.
So we definitely got to talk about the Kevin Hart special you were on. It was Heart of the City, I believe it was.
Is that So the first one was Heart of the City. So okay. It was me and 3 other comics in Detroit who did the Detroit episode of that show.
Okay.
And so each episode was a different city where they were highlighting mostly the black comics and the black comedy scene of that community. And each episode focused on three or four comics.
Right.
And so it was me and three other comics, and it went really well. And then from that, there was another show called The Next Level, which was like kind of the similar structure, but it was more of like a half hour special.
Now, was that the one that you went to? I believe you were in Miami on that one, right? When you were with Francisco Duran, and there was like another gentleman with you. Are you guys in California on that?
For The Next Level, we went to, it was filmed in LA. It was just like, they just did like a show of like, they put a whole bunch of, we each kind of did our half hour, at the, Orpheum, theater. And it started out with like a few minute interview of me and Kevin Hart, and then it went into the special.
Now,
it was similar to Heart of the City, because Heart of the City was the same setup, except for it was an interview with him interviewing kind of all four of us, and then us splitting the rest of the time doing our sets.
So at the time, I know you've done shows pretty much all over the place, like all over Michigan and Midwest and beyond. But when you said you were in the, what was it, the Orpheum? What was it like being in there, performing in there?
It was weird. It's like, it's like you always get more nervous for the next, when you get used to a certain thing, then you get less nervous. But anytime there's a new part of your career that you haven't done before, then that's a whole new thing to be nervous about, where it's like the first time featuring was like, well, I've hosted a bunch, I haven't featured. It's, you know, the first time headlining. So it's not like, it's like the nerves just change as you, the longer you do comedy, more than just go away. But for me at least, but it was like, I worked on it for so long before then that I don't think that I felt as nervous. I was just really excited.
Do you find yourself still getting nervous when you go perform in other places?
Especially in LA, what will happen is I think that I've been less nervous the more that I've just settled down and decided not to care as much. But it doesn't feel like, because there's more people watching potentially at some of these clubs that can help me in various ways, it feels like there's less shows that you can just do whatever you want without any consequences.
Really?
So, like in Michigan, if there's not a booker that's booking comedy clubs that's there, there's not as many comedians that you feel like you have to impress. So it's like I might have jokes that I want to work on that are new, but then there's also some people that don't know, they've never seen me do stand up before, and I'd like for them to have a positive opinion of me. And so it's like you're constantly trying to balance what's the most productive way to use this time of, I don't want to repeat the same jokes over and over again. So I still want to expand my set and work on some new jokes, but not at the expense of somebody who's never seen me before thinking that I'm, you know, not using this opportunity correctly or something. So, yeah, lately I've been trying to find like just like the fun backyard shows.
Those are the best kind, honestly. You do like the share the location, you know, private location, it's more intimate because, you know, you're actually talking to that crowd versus being like a huge place and you're trying to do your material and it's like there's so many people in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was gonna say that's what it was kind of like towards the, as soon as we were allowed to go outside and do comedy during the pandemic, it was so interesting because it was so many people that couldn't go outside, and now it was so interesting. It felt like everybody just wanted to be outside. It was a magical time where it felt like no show can be that terrible. You got to go outside today. All right. Just be happy for what it is.
Yes.
What made you move to California? Was that something that you've
good
always
question.
Wanted to do?
Or
was it because of the comedy? Or what made you move from Michigan to California?
Well, ultimately, it was the Kevin Hart, the Comedy Central credits. I felt like I could do something more with it in Los Angeles. But originally, I think just doing comedy, at some point when I decided that I wanted to take it more as a career instead of treating it just like a hobby, I just kind of, at the time it was just like, well, you can go to Chicago. That's a step up higher than the Detroit scene, or you can pick New York or LA, which were considered to be the two top tiers of which city you could live in to do comedy.
Wow.
And so that was ultimately what the cut and dry version of it when I started. Now it might be not as cut and dry because social media has changed things. So there's people that live in North Carolina that sell out all around the country, and their home is in North Carolina, but they're typically on tour. So you know what I mean? Like, you can do more with the internet. So it doesn't matter as much as it used to.
That's very true.
There's, you know, especially if you're not considering acting and you're not considering other things, if you're just trying to do stand up and use the platforms that social media can give you, then it might not matter as much as when I started. And there's just other cities in general that are coming up that are doing great. Atlanta is doing fantastic. I know Austin has a great scene now. So there's a lot of different cities that are that during the pandemic, I think, shuffled a lot of the comics around. And so it's not as cut and dry. But originally I came out here because I was like, you know what, I hate snow. So I might just cut off. I might not do New York just off of snow alone. If I could pick one of the two.
I'm so there.
I was like, New York costs more than Los Angeles and has snow. And I had more friends in Los Angeles than New York. So it kind of felt like just for my overall mental health and well-being, I was like, I'll just go to Sunshine where my friends are at instead.
That is very smart because you can powwow and brainstorm. And
It's like, I think a lot of people, they're not honest with themselves. It's great for the people that can just pick whatever place they want to go to, toughen it up. But for me, at some point, I'm like, I'm going to go insane. If I hate most of my life, just the stand-up part at the end of the day won't make me happy for the rest of the day. Like, I don't want to pick where I'm living just 100% on stand-up opportunities, because I might, what if I quit comedy in 2 years? Cause now
that's
I'm just
true.
Depressed because I don't know. I got lost on trains all the time. The few times that I couldn't figure out New York at all, man. Nobody wanted to help me with directions. They were just like, if you don't know, fuck off.
Horrible.
So, like, since you've been out there, not to interrupt you, you said you've been out there about 5 years, right? 5 years now?
It's been 4 years.
So have you been thinking, because you were talking about movies and series and stuff, have you tried doing any pilots or auditioning for anything out there or writing?
So far I've been auditioning for, like, commercials and stuff.
Okay.
And I definitely have to I want to get on the writing side of things.
Okay.
So, I could totally see you doing that.
Me too.
I think that, I don't know what there's something that I do get jealous about of the people that just did have their life figured out when they were younger. Cause I think I overdid what it takes to be a writer. Like, because I didn't view myself as a writer in school. So then when I stumbled upon stand up, it's like, yeah, we write our jokes to figure out how to, and then I've built hours or whatever of total material. I never considered myself the same as, like, a writer. It seems like a lot of the people that do things are just people that are dumb enough to either not question it,
right,
or smart enough to not question it. Either way, of just giving something a shot and seeing what happens. But I think that I wish I would have been more involved in writing and submitting for pilots earlier in my career. But, hey, if I got to start that now, I'll give it a shot.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And honestly, don't even worry about that. Morgan Freeman didn't even start his shit until he was in his middle 40s.
Dude, look at Leslie Nielsen. That guy was like he had to have been like almost 90 years old before he passed away. And he was acting all the way until, what was it, Naked Gun 33 and a third? Like,
And it's not even about like age anymore because of the internet.
Right?
It's just about whether or not you've got it or you don't. It doesn't even matter about age.
Jeff, best thing we can tell you, and this is honestly from experience, and I listen to a lot of different podcasts now as well, and the guys from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they started out with like a handheld portable, like, point and shoot camera, total camcorder, and just did it and said fuck it. They shopped their stuff to different networks. Wasn't trying to hear what they were presenting. They didn't see the vision, and they said fuck it, we'll just do it ourselves. And FX eventually picked it up. So dude,
Yeah.
And you're a natural.
You are a total natural. Yeah. So you team
I'd be
up.
Cracking up watching your videos. I'd be cracking up because I watch TikTok after Jason goes to sleep from my guilty pleasure.
God, does she watch TikTok?
And I'd be cracking up.
I'll be like rolling over. I'm like, okay, she's got to be TikTok. And there's like a silhouette of somebody on the ceiling.
Yeah. Esther I like TikTok as well. But yeah, definitely. Going to bed, there's times when she'll fall asleep watching TikTok, and the only reason I'll know that she's asleep is because the video will repeat, and then I'll be like, this song has been on loop for far too long. There's no way that this isn't. And then I look over and I'm like, oh yeah, she's asleep.
I have a serious question in the comedy. I've been listening to different ones with the Conan, Conan Needs a Friend, and one thing I always wondered, so why do you think comedy today is getting such a bad rep when it comes to what you guys can talk about topic wise? And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Cause like back in the day you could say shit and people actually had a funny bone and it didn't offend everyone. Now it's like, if you say something, you know, everyone gets their panties in a bunch, you know, like how do you deal with that? You know, when it comes to doing your material on stage?
Good question. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you.
I think it's unfortunately was a natural part of what was going to happen in comedy just because of technology. Yeah. So I think that businesses have always wanted to pander to the consumers, but now they feel more obligated to, and it's easier for them to pander to consumers because consumers can leave their opinions on the internet and say what they like and don't like. So now it's just, I just think too many people giving their opinions on things and businesses caving into that. And then now it's with society, just everything feels more divided than I think it even actually is a lot of times in comedy. Because it's like people will say the same thing and have two completely different meanings. Like there's somebody that will say, you can't say anything anymore. And it could just be, he might just be a white dude who's upset that he can't say the N-word in a joke. And it's like, all right. Okay, I don't, you know what I mean? That's not the same as somebody else who is just talking about race and the audience is uncomfortable.
Right.
And you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like a lot of people are saying the same things and I think they're coming from different perspectives. Everybody's saying that the people are too sensitive, but then I don't think that the audiences are as sensitive as much as they're just divided, and they're like, that's as soon true. As they can sniff out what type of person you are, they find out you are or are not a Trump supporter, then they have an opinion of you. And then now I'm going to watch your comedy a different way, the entire set, because
that's true. That's unfortunate because comedy is really, it's a way of connecting to people and making people laugh because I mean, we watched the YouTube news clips lately, and
oh
I mean,
gosh,
people are losing their fucking minds.
They're
like,
so funny, though.
They're like shooting in broad daylight, and people spitting on people on planes. I'm just like, damn. Like,
or smuggling chicken wings into a prison.
Oh my God, did you hear that shit?
No.
Okay, so I think it was in Chicago. Wasn't it Chicago?
Yeah.
I think it was in Chicago. So we already know that they've been trying to sneak shit in there forever. You know, porn magazines, dope, whatever, right? But apparently, chicken was another thing that they were smuggling in, and they showed the guy in the window, like he was coming in the bar, like the cell. He was outside. He had string. He was pulling up his big ass sack of fucking chicken up the damn window, and of course they busted his ass. So you know he got arrested, and they're showing all this shit. They're like, he's got like all these drugs and like little weapons and cell phones and shit, and then they got a bag of fucking chicken wings. I mean, they just need to set up a pop-up food truck in the jail, you know?
The fact that he was willing to risk more jail time for something as inexpensive and as simple as chicken, to me, is proof of how horrible prisoners are treated in this country.
That's true.
Just because they shouldn't be willing to, like, I will risk being in jail for another 10 years to have some fucking chicken. That is insane. You only do that if you're treated less than human for X amount of time, and you're like, I'm give me some chicken. I'm done with this. It's like because that's how they'll keep your lights on. Like the smallest things that some people will say, oh, but you did a crime, deal with it. And it's like, I don't think anybody should be treated less than human. And like, give somebody a pillow. turn the lights off when they go to bed. The smallest things are going to help you through this moment.
But, oh, man, that's so
now
true.
Now I'm going to steal some chicken. I'm just picturing it. I'm picturing, like, the movie Sandlot of, like, all of these, like, gadgets being done. So, like, yeah, it's hard to picture. They just had string and...
So
everything, so
from the video, if I remember correctly, it was
they got
like,
caught because they're using what's the one? What are those things that go up? Those flying
the drone? Yeah, they got busted with the drone, so they're banning the drones. So he had the drone as
going
well,
around the prison as security,
yep.
And they saw this guy using twine string,
yep.
To literally hook
literally
everything
like,
up, go up to this prison window.
He's going. Like,
who is his chicken connect? Who is the
who is the chicken plug?
Yeah. And who is willing to risk it on their end to be like, I will give you chicken?
He obviously wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed to do
not
that. He probably, they were like, look, man, we're going to give you like $100 to do this. He's like, sure, I'll do this. No
yeah,
problem.
I'm like, so the prisoner got caught, but did the guy that tried
yeah.
to pull
oh, yeah, he
yep,
definitely
he got
caught.
Too.
Yeah, because they
the
showed
other guy got,
yep, because they showed him pulling it up to the actual room that he was at, like in his window. So they got him.
Man, I don't know what it is, but when I don't know the context, I'm just always rooting for the criminal in these situations. I don't know why. Ooh. Anytime I see a high speed chase, I'm like rooting for the guy to get away. He might have done an awful thing, but until they tell me what that awful thing is, without context, it's if this was a movie, I'd be like, fucking go. Yeah, drive over the lawn. Keep going. Like I feel like we all are. We're rooting for the guy to escape.
That is true.
That is true.
Oh, man.
To see how far he'll take it.
So,
yeah.
I have let's see here. We've actually got through half like dude. Okay, so who are your? Okay, nope. We already got,
look at him, so unprepared.
No, actually, I got.
I know.
If you could step into a time machine, what decade would you go back into, and why?
What Ooh. Decade? Am I this old?
You could be older or younger, like it's whatever you think.
But
like,
he's saying,
like
it, but he's saying,
like I got, like I would, I if I could redo life over, I would only know what to do
in those decades.
Of Jeff, born in 1987.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so 77, 67 wouldn't work.
I'm like, I don't know. I didn't read enough of your guys' history to know how to take advantage financially of this time period. I'd go to the 60s and I'd be like, all right, so they're more racist now. What else do I know? I'd be like, I don't know. I'm sure there's some music I've heard. I don't like, what am I? I got nothing in common with these people. I don't think I would. I think people get really pissed at me because people would be like, somebody would give me a time machine and I'd be like, I don't even fucking want it. I don't even think I'd use it.
He was like, just take it back. Give it to someone else. They can use it.
They'd be like, what? This cost me a lot of money. And I'd be like, I don't know. You didn't ask me first if I even wanted one.
So you also do the cat videos too, and the pet videos with the pet tricks. Like, what is your cat's name? First off, what's your cat's name?
Oh my god, I've watched those videos. They're so funny.
They are funny.
My cat's name is Simba.
Shout out to Simba or Simba. Simba.
Simba.
Simba.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we originally were. I don't think originally we would have given him a name that can't be trademarked for us to not. We can't even make money off of him without being more creative. But that was because we were like a foster fail. We weren't originally, we were fostering him and his sister Sasha. We fostered several other cats.
Comedy cats?
Pandemic.
You're about to say comedy cats.
Yeah. I don't know, I was going to say comedy. Other kittens during the pandemic.
Okay.
And they always gave us, they would call them hissy kittens. That was the official title. And we had to do certain things to like teach them, you know, get them ready for other people without them attacking them.
Okay.
You know, like some of them just at a young age, they just have to be like, you just have to have some patience and do some things differently to teach them that their people aren't that bad.
Yeah.
And, but then we ended up liking him enough to where we just decided we were gonna keep him.
Aww.
And then I learned that cats are more easily trained than what we've been told.
Oh, that's so true. You can go on vacation.
Yeah, cats are very smart.
And a cat will be just fine and content. You could like leave for a whole 2 weeks and a cat will be just fine.
All you got to do is give them a bowl of water, maybe something to play with. And they sleep most of the time. The dogs are the one that get into trouble. Yeah. They're always tearing everything up.
But what I learned, there was this, I think it was on Netflix. There was one for dogs and one for cats. And then the one for cats basically said that scientists just studying dogs or cats, most scientists were dudes, especially the further back you go. So they're going to study dude stuff.
Yeah.
So they like dogs more, so they pick dogs. So they're just the cat studies are just decades behind dogs.
Oh.
So people thought that cats can't be trained, but they were like, no, all animals can be trained to a degree, some with more difficulty than others, but just for different reasons. So a dog wants wants you to like him, where a cat will only do tricks for you if the cat likes you. Mm. If the cat likes you, like the more that I hang out with the cat, like even though the cat can be fine by himself, they just are easier to train the more time you spend with them.
Okay.
The more time that you don't leave them alone, because then they actually are just happier, they like you more, and then they're more willing to do tricks for you.
That's true.
Or to try to figure out what you want from them because they like you more.
Oh, really? That's
so cool. The stronger the bond that they have. So then we, we taught them maybe 6 months old or 5 months old. We started teaching them to go over our legs. And then I watched YouTube videos, and now he'll dap it up. He'll what up. You can fist bump him.
That's cool.
He sits, he spins, he jumps through my arms. I'll go like this. And then like he'll jump through my arms through a hula hoop and stuff.
Really cool.
I'm like, I might just quit comedy and just hang out and just post cat videos.
You could be like, what was that movie with Keanu? Remember with?
Oh my god!
I love that movie, dude. Kathy doesn't like it as much, but that movie is hilarious, man. You got cats, you got Jordan and Peele, and then you got George Michael.
Love that you just the bullet points. You're like, let me sell you on the film. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. You get cats. You get Key and Peele. Or just Jordan Peele. Just Jordan Peele. And you didn't even explain the movie at all.
I'm like,
you're
like
George Michael, cats, Jordan Peele. Huh?
It's George Michael.
Huh? Yeah. I forgot George Michael was in it. It's been a while since.
Jason's face is like so beat red.
So a brief synopsis of the movie was what you were talking about. Basically, in the beginning, there was these two assassins, and they killed a drug cartel guy, and they took his, I guess it was his cousin's cat, and they fell in love with the cat, and then the cat took off and ran, and then somehow found the one guy, Jordan, right? Found him. He was all depressed because his girl broke with him. Long story short, they are acting like gangsters so they can join Method Man's gang just so they can get Keanu back. And he's like doing all this pet stuff and doing pet photography. And there's a part where they're doing the George Michael, like the other guy that was on Mad TV, not Jordan, but Keegan. And he was in the car talking about, bro, you don't know who George Michael is? He's like, bro, he didn't have no father. It's about father figure. And he was like,
man. That was good. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
They told him he was black.
Yeah. Well, they didn't.
Somebody got a tattoo of him. They got a tattoo of his name or something. And then after that, they found out, wait, this has been a white dude this whole time. I think I remember that. Yeah.
Great film. Like, I love it. I know, right? They didn't just like cut us a check. Like, we just totally endorsed them. So I got some random lightning question rounds for you. Basically, these are different things. So it's the 80s. You got your Walkman. You might have a high top fade or a mohawk. What's in your Walkman? What are you playing in your Sony Walkman?
This has been my only hairstyle I've had my entire life. I've only lived life as how do I make the least amount of decisions possible. And blend in. Just, I don't want to be the coolest. I just don't want to be the weirdest. It was just solid colors, basic haircut, was, yeah, so when you said high top fader.
Because I'm envisioning maybe you had like a mohawk or maybe a fade or something or perm maybe, you know, you never know. It was the 80s.
I don't even know if my school, so I was born in 87.
Okay.
So like.
So probably the 90s for you. Like what was in your Walkman in the 90s?
Let's see. Well, I had a weird relationship with music. I feel like I was younger. When I was younger, it was like I have an older brother and two older sisters.
Okay.
So most of just what we listened to in the house was never my choice.
Oh.
It was like, what does my brother want to listen to? What does my older sister? And because I just didn't feel like making decisions, I was like, I'm just going to, whatever other people listen to is fine.
Right.
I just didn't even, and I feel like it felt weird. I felt like I was aware of like a weird, I didn't have the words for it, but of like the racial divide of like, this is what my cousins listen to. This is what people in my high school listen to. the weird three white dudes that are dressed at all black that, you know, don't hang out with anybody else. So this is what they, so if everything felt kind of segregated. So I didn't know what was like, it was hard for me to just take all of the music and I don't know.
So there wasn't particular genre that you listened to more than the other?
Mainly it would be rap and hip hop because that's what my brother listened to. That's what my friends listened to. But I don't think that I actively tried to listen to it and like to listen to music. I just more had music around me when I was younger. When I got into high school and in college, that's when I started to do more, you know, LimeWire, whatever, download music for free, and put my own, you know, CDs and stuff together.
Okay.
But it's just interesting. I just think back of like when I was younger, I just see kids now that are like six that have a favorite song. And I'm like, I didn't even know you could have a favorite song when you were six. But your older brother had a favorite song, and that had to be your favorite song until he got tired of listening to it.
That is so true, because I grew up with siblings too, and it was the exact same way.
So who is the best Batman and who is the best Joker?
Ooh, I like that one.
I know we were talking about
the best Batman. People aren't going to like the answer. That's fine. People can be wrong all the time. Ben Affleck. I had by far the least annoying Batman voice. I didn't like Christian Bale's Batman voice. It sounded like he was doing.
I didn't either. Like doing, you're not alone. Like
he was doing a Wolverine impression, it sounded like, not Batman, where he's just like, it's like, yeah, you're trying to bring it back a little. You know what I mean? Like, you can, I don't know. I liked Ben Affleck's Batman the best.
Okay.
And Joker. It's the hard thing for me with Joker is that there's Heath Ledger started as he did his as Joker, where what is it? Joaquin Phoenix for his Joker movie was more of the origin of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, how did he be? So it's almost like they were playing two different people where it's like it's hard to compare them because for the Joker movie, for Joaquin Phoenix, he didn't get the privilege of being like starting as like, all right, you know my history. I'm just going to do crazy clown noises the whole and make weird. Like, he had to build it a little bit throughout the entire movie. And so it's like, I mean, those are the best two in my opinion. But, you know, it's kind of hard for me to pick one or the other because I just felt like they had two different stories. One got to start as the bad guy and one was the origin of how he got there. But
favorite type of food, Twinkies or donuts?
Ooh.
Today?
Yeah, do you like Twinkies or donuts?
Well, I'm vegan now.
Okay.
So there are vegan donuts.
Really?
That exist that taste great. It's just you just pick different ingredients.
Okay.
It's there's a lot of vegan donuts that taste fantastic.
Okay, let me ask real quick. How come you went vegan?
I went vegan. I just felt bad. I was like, I don't think animals want us to do that. And it felt like it was such an easy switch of it gave me a sense of self-control of like the choices I make are directly
That's true.
Have some impact in the world, even if only I know. that's fine. I just felt like I was just always, especially like I was telling you how I listened to music, whoever was listening to music around me. Uh-huh. That's how I ate food. I was just like, does this not have onions? I'll eat it. That's all I cared about. I didn't care what it was. I was the weirdest kid in the world. My parents got, I'd go to an all you can eat buffet as a little kid and just get a stack of like fries, pickles and lemons. My family would be pissed. They'd be like, you know how much we pay? This is an all-you-can-eat buffet. You better get some real food.
But that's a great reason to, honestly, because I'm more plant-based because of my family has a history of like fucking like heart disease and shit like that. So mm-hmm. that's why I took out the meat and dairy for like particular health issues. But your reasoning is very mm-hmm. beautiful because of the fact of that's just a nice way of being mindful. I love that.
For me, it messes my stomach up. Like, I can't have dairy, mm-hmm. high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
And I can't have gluten all of a sudden.
And this is the thing that's crazy, is that to me, when people are like, oh, somebody's lactose intolerant, I'm like, no, nobody is lactose intolerant. You're just not a baby cow. That's all it is. That's all it is. If you were a baby cow, then you would have no problem taking your mother's milk. It would be made for
that's
your body.
True.
So
that's
all of
true.
These people that think there's something wrong with them, it's because they don't it showed me how bad milk was for you when I was vegetarian for a year before going vegan.
Okay.
And I didn't really lose that much weight. I didn't go into it to lose weight, so I didn't like exercise more or anything after the dietary changes. But when I did go vegan, within like 2 months, I feel like I went from skinny to skinnier. The only difference was I didn't have cheese or milk. You know what I mean? The only difference between vegetarian and vegan really is just you just didn't have cheese or milk. Yeah. But the only thing I took out, and then after a year being vegetarian, I lost like 15 pounds in a month from just not having. I feel like we're not supposed to have it.
We're not.
I feel like most people, like I hear so many people that are like, yeah, when I have milk, it does this, it does that. I'm like, food that's good for you, you don't have to strategize
so
hard.
That's true.
I can have a milkshake at this time, but if I have it later, I'm going to have diarrhea. Food's not supposed to do that for you.
No, it's not. Kathy be saying that shit to me all the time because like I'll be like, I cheated again. And she's like, okay, what food did you eat? What food did you eat? Because at our job, we got the vending machine and we got the peanut butter M&Ms, and that's like my crack. Like, I can't stop inhaling them.
Sure.
And it fucks me up. So, like, I used to hate going to, like, Starbucks or, you know, any kind of, you know, coffee place, and they'd be like, there's someone in front of me be like, I need a latte, no whipped cream, this kind of milk, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, can you just hurry the fuck up? Like, can I get my shit? And now I'm that person. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm that person. Yeah. So I'm like doing research on the shit. And they're like, 500,000 Americans cannot even process lactose. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But they're pushing it out like we can process it. Because when you're a kid, you process you process everything when you're a kid because it's like a garbage disposal. You literally eat everything. You get older, your body's like, nope.
Whatever, because you didn't have any choice in it.
Yeah, you had no choice.
You're like, whatever the adults gave me.
That
is
so true, because as a kid,
that's also
milk and Pepsi. That was the big thing.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna do some milk mustaches on some celebrities. It's what made me think also that I do this as a joke, so I'm gonna try to not say it as a joke.
Okay.
But the what's always been funny to me is that milk is one of the only few this is how you know who is evil and runs the world, is how simple their advertising is, right? So almost 99% of products that you see on TV that are advertised to you in some way, there's a business, they tell you what brand to buy at what store for what price. Yeah. And then milk is just like, milk. Go get it. They don't care what kind. There's no 2% milk commercials.
No.
There's no buy milk at Kroger. There's no like buy milk at a different. Nobody. They're just milk. That's insane to me. That's just like hats. Huh? How about them? What do you mean? Where should I get this? I don't know. I don't give a fuck. Just get some milk.
Just
somewhere.
Find a way to get some fucking milk.
Buy it. Care what. Who's paying for this? That's where I'm just like, just milk as a pro.
Ooh, you're freezing.
I get it.
Okay, are you back?
There you are.
Back.
Yeah,
he's
you
back.
Are.
He's back.
I don't know.
You were doing the moonwalk there. You were like, the robot and like, shit. Like, am I here?
It wasn't frozen on my end, so I didn't know. Thanks for telling me.
So Okay, you said 87, so you probably didn't know much about the original Shaft, but you saw the one with Samuel Jackson. Did you watch the 70s Shaft at all? Did you ever get to see it?
I did not.
Oh, you're not. Okay, so you got to miss it. All right, you got to miss it. You got to watch it. Like, it's a definitely must-see. Because one of my questions was old school Richard Roundtree or Samuel Jackson. And he's like, Jason, I don't know who the fuck Richard Roundtree.
Okay. Well, I have a question. Go ahead, Kathy. What is the most silliest thing you've ever done?
Good question.
The silliest thing. You see, as an adult, as a kid, I don't even know because I was a silly kid.
Okay.
I was a silly kid. And then I got older and then I learned that anxiety exists. And then the world's not a great, I don't know what happened, but when I was a kid, there was no feeling of embarrassed in public that existed for me. And then I got older and I was like, the world's a scary place. And then, so it took me a couple of years to not be scared on stage of like just the basic, not shaking, holding a microphone. But man, I go on tangents. What was the question? We'll get there.
What is the most silliest thing you've ever done?
Silliest thing. Okay. So I can just think of as like an adult. The silliest thing that I did was I tried to force myself to go out of my comfort zone and not take life so serious. And when I first moved out here, I delivered for Postmates and Uber Eats and things like that and DoorDash. And then, so I was going to work on Halloween and I found at the, at like a flea market or just like a I saw a Salvation Army type of thing. I saw a I had a onesie kangaroo outfit, and I was trying to see if wearing it would get me more tips.
Did it work?
No, it failed horribly. So I thought it would be cute. I put the food in my little pouch. It had a pouch. So I pulled the pouch out and that's where I kept my food. And then I was going up to the door and I was ringing the, but then this was the day that everybody that answered the door was not the person who ordered the food. Aww. So then I can't just be like, well, can you tell your boss I'm dressed like a kangaroo? Maybe, nobody cared. Everybody I ordered for, there would be some like a house cleaning lady who didn't even speak any English, and it's a big huge house and it's like just somebody that works for the man, and I'm like, she was probably even more freaked out. She's like, what the everybody is just freaked out because I can't even explain to her what's going on. She's like, you're just a kangaroo, here's the food, thank you. But nobody, I got no extra tips at all.
That
Nobody
brings
cared.
Me into what is the most annoying thing that bothers you? Like your pet peeve, like what just like nails on a chalkboard. What bothers you?
What has bothered me the most as of late is I know there's 100 comics that will make fun of predictive texts on phones. That doesn't bother me as much as I don't like it when I'll angry text a lot. And then I want it to be, it just makes me angrier when I misspell something. And what bothers me is when it changes, is when I spell a word correctly.
Right.
But they're guessing you didn't mean that word. You meant another word. I wish iPhone, it can't do this. I wish it would only correct me if I spell something wrong and you don't believe that it's a word. Sure. Correct me and change it to something you think is the best guess. But if I say, if I type the word find, but somehow the letters were close enough to each other to be like, oh, you meant true. And they just pick a whole, that happens all the time. They'll just pick an entirely different word. Yeah. And then it just takes away. I'm trying to drive. I'm angrily texting while I'm driving, while I'm on the phone with somebody else. I can't multitask well. So
that's
now
not
I'm
a
just,
good idea.
Just, so yeah.
Not a good idea.
I fully support texting and driving. The most free time I have.
If you could write a TV show or a movie about your life, who would you pick to play you?
Ooh, good question. I like that one.
It would be hard because I don't know. Huh.
I know. No one's probably never asked you that.
No one. Yeah, no one's asked me that. And I don't know.
What comedian would play you?
Well, that's a good one. Like, who would you want to play you, comedian-wise?
which stand-up comedian, which people have referred to me as Mark Norman for too many, just because we're regular looking white dudes, I guess, with regular looking hair.
Who is it?
Mark Norman.
Mark Norman.
So yeah, he's a really good joke writer, but he's a and so people, that's the most common person that people have said that I look like.
Uh-huh. No shit, he does look like him. I just Googled him. Oh my god, he looks just like him.
Oh, I didn't see.
Oh my god. Oh my god, you look just like him.
She was like, that's the lovely thing about technology. Like as soon as you said it, she's like, oh, Mark Norman. Let me go save real quick.
Did you see the Elvis? Not Elvis.
I did see the Elvis. That was a horrible
movie. I didn't mean Elvis, but I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant the Weird Al.
Yeah.
Weird Al movie on Rogue. Yes. Daniel Radcliffe did. It bothers me that comedians are not allowed to be, or people that act in a funny role are not even considered to be. It's hard for me to believe that too many actors did a better job with their assignment than what he had.
Yeah.
He was like emotionally, for silly situations to be visibly like angry and crying and emotional is not an easy thing to act. You know, if it's funny, people want to laugh. It's hard for people to, I just thought he did such a good job as Weird Al.
He did. He really looked like him.
And I was like, maybe he could do anybody. Maybe Daniel Radcliffe would be Jeff Horst. I have no idea. If he can do Weird Al, he can do it more toned down.
Do you think we'll ever have flying cars in our lifetime?
No.
He said it without even thinking. He was just like, not at all.
Because they've said it for too long. It's like, they've made cars that could run off of water 100 years ago, but like, you know what I mean? I don't think that they're going to allow any inventions that will actually help humanity.
That is true. That is so true.
That's the saddest answer I can give. I don't think they're going to let us better ourselves as a species.
That would be kind of cool though. Cause I mean, they invented like all this stuff for like the Jetsons, for example, and all the stuff came true. Like the Zoom, like we're on right now. That was the thing on there. They had the not the microwaves, but the little buttons when the food comes out. They actually have that in Toronto now. So flying cars should be like on the horizon, you would think.
I think that even if they invent it, I just don't think that they will it will be allowed to be used from regular consumers, because now you have to make a whole new set of laws where are you flying over streets? Can I go over another car? And the old cops, that they barely want to be out there anyways. They're not going to patrol. Lazy ass cop ain't patrolling flying cars. Ain't no way in the world.
Man, this has been awesome, man. Like, I so appreciate you coming on the show. Like, we just started doing this. We did this literally, like, what, about a month ago?
Yep, we started about maybe a month and a half ago. I think you're episode number 6 or 7.
I think seven. Yeah, episode 7.
Cool.
Yeah, dude, this has been a joy.
I so needed the laughs tonight. Yes. Oh, my God, you were so funny. But, of course, I know this. I follow you on social media. And I remember seeing you for the very first time when Jason took me to see you. It was at the bar in Hamtramck, I think, the first time I saw you.
Trixie's,
yes. Yeah. And then the second time was at the place in Waterford. What's the place?
One Night Stand.
So you've always been so funny. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and making us laugh.
And
I
also got to say thank you for allowing me to do stand-up at Trixie's, because if it wasn't for you, you know, believing that I could do it, because I didn't think I was, you know, stand-up material or even remotely could do it. But I guess Kathy was like, hey, you know, you're kind of funny. Like, man, why don't you try something? So since I did it that one time, I did it another time after that. And I noticed when I did the comedy, I did more of like improv the first time, like at Trixie's, and they loved it. But when I tried to do writing, didn't work as much. So now I'm just kind of learning how to memorize different things. And it's all because of you, man. Like, you really believed in me.
Thanks, man.
To allow me to do that. So I really appreciate that, Jeff. Seriously.
Hey, no problem at all. No problem at all.
And don't forget. Keep going. My bad.
I was gonna say keep doing it. It's you know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. That's the fastest way to get better at it.
Well, you know what's funny is we went to the Verner Room at the Crowfoot, and I work at, you know, the dollar store, one of my other jobs. And so I had my uniform on, the name tag and everything. And I even had the little St. Patrick's Day Irish hat that they sell there. And I went straight on the stage like that. I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
I wore my Jimmy John's jacket when I first started.
Did you?
I was coming from work at Jimmy John's in Livonia. And then Yeah, there's a couple comics that would just call me Jimmy Jones.
That's like Dorian. Dorian, shout out to Dorian. Remember, he was there that night, and he still does his cab thing, and he would just pull up in the cab, do his little stand-up, and be like, okay, got to go get some fares.
So, Jeff, let everybody know where they can reach you on social
media. Yes, let us know your links, all your social media, if you got a website. Yeah,
I'm on social media at Jeff Horst, J-E-F-F-H-O-R-S-T-E. On TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and my website is jeffhorst.com. And on my Instagram and on my TikTok, I have a link tree that you can click on to find all my there's a couple of podcasts that my girlfriend and I do.
Shout out to Esther, man. She's really she's like the shit. You guys are a great couple.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
And then the top link is just a list of like my upcoming shows. So you can see, you know, where I'll be.
Cool, man. Well, look, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up, but we just want to say again, thank you. Let me see if I can cue this clap up again, maybe, right? Let me see if I can do it. There we go. Thank you so much. Give it up for Jeff Horst, everybody. Man, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And everyone, we are going to end our show Talking Nude. Shout out to ONTV and Joe and Jeff Horst and my beautiful wife Kathy, and with that we're out of here. Yeah, okay. Talking Nude. Yeah. Talking Nude. Take off your clothes, baby, because it's time for
Talking Nude.
We don't need no clothes where we're going, baby, because we're
Talking Nude.
Take off your flip-flops and then we'll all be